This is Living the RV Dream, episode 202 for Friday, July 30th, 2021.
I'm riding in my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Hello, happy campers, hello, fellow pelican heads, and happy travelers around the world, full-timers, part-timers, boondockers, van dwellers, weekend warriors. Welcome to the show. Today I'm coming to you from, I don't even know where I am. It's it's a town just halfway between Omaha and Sioux City, and here we are, Onawa, Iowa. And we're staying at the KOA here, just on the outskirts of Onawa. And from here, we're going to Omaha. This was not part of the plan, my original plan was to stay at the where we've been for the past week, at the Winnebago Grand National Rally in Forest City, Iowa, which, by the way, was a lot of fun. More about that in a few minutes here. And I thought, we're going to stay all the way to the end. But this is the thing. We haven't been able to take a nice shower for a couple of days because the Winnebago National Rally is only electrical, and they do have like a buddy system for you to get water. You know, like people join forces with the water hoses, and there was a gentleman there who gave us a 100-foot long water hose, and we were able to get water. And there's a honey wagon service. It's $30 for the honey wagon, and they, you know, you have to. But we forgot to do that, like the last honey wagon, and all the festivities really ended today. The main festivities, most people, you know, a lot of people were leaving on Thursday when I'm recording this. So a couple of days ago, we decided, well, let's, you know, we have 3 days to kill here. Let's look for something. And I knew I wanted to go to Des Moines after this. So it's a little bit of a detour, but I want Ely to see Omaha. And we might even be able to go to Sioux City, and that way we're gonna go into South Dakota and Nebraska, two states that we had not planned to visit as part of this trip. Now let me tell you a little bit about the rally, and I didn't know what to expect when I went there, and to be honest, I didn't know, you know, and for the first couple of days, it's that kind of thing that happens at most of these rallies that have been happening for decades. You know, some of these people have been going to the national rally every single year for 20, 30, 40 years. So everybody pretty much knows each other. And, you know, they all staying together in the same chapters. For example, the people from Ohio, they all have their own row there for Ohio, Texas, Florida, and whatnot. And where they parked us, they parked us together with the other Winnebago ambassadors. And there were like, I don't know, six or seven of us there in that section right next to the entrance. And by the way, very cool to meet up with a lot of the other ambassadors and you know, exchange our experiences with Winnebago and stories from the road. And a lot of us had known each other. Some of us had known each other from before, but some of us, you know, just met at this national rally. And I think we've made some friends along the way. But then that was the first impression. We were kind of like the outsiders there, like the new kids on the block, you know, all these people that had been going to the national rally. And of course, last year there was not a national rally, and this year it was reduced capacity, only 700 rigs. Yeah, only 700 rigs. In other years they've had over 1,000. So even though it felt huge to us, and a lot of cool activities, of course. They had three concerts on three different nights, food trucks. Actually, one of my favorite activities, besides some of the seminars, was actually something that they call the row party. And it's on one afternoon. It takes like 2 hours. And then every row, not every row, but a lot of the rows, I would say 10 of them, or maybe even more, had like typical food or drinks or trinkets or whatnot, things typical of the state that particular chapter of the Winnebago International Travelers Club, which is the WIT Club, represented, and that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun, especially one of my favorites was Louisiana had like the best jambalaya, and Texas had good beer. And actually, the Class B vans, they had like their own chapter, and they had excellent IPA. It was like a party over there at the Class B vans. And of course, every afternoon, I think at 3 p.m., they had like a tiki bar, and they give you tickets for two free drinks. I mean, it was a party atmosphere. And on the last day, we had a luau, and they brought this Hawaiian band and dancers and all that. That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun, but my favorite concert was the first one, and the name of the band escapes me right now, but they were really good. Larry Fleet, I think it was the name of the band leader and the band. I mean, it was a first class act in production wise, arrangements, musicianship. And the guy is, I'm not a huge country music fan, but it was, but I like the music, and it was great. It was really good. To me, that was the favorite, and it was the first night of the rally. They had some good food trucks there. There was one in particular, a white food truck. The Two Chefs, I believe it was called. Two old chefs, and you know, burgers, and they had like a prime rib sandwich that was kind of like a, it was prime rib, but it was kind of in the style of a Philly cheesesteak. Good food. And they had something called the walking tacos, and it's not really a taco, but they get a bag of Doritos, they open it up, and then they put like ground beef, you know, meat, you know, and all the fixings you would put in a taco. So you get a fork and you walk around eating that, and that was it was one of the hits of the show. They only had it like for a couple hours every day. That was really good. Of course, we got to meet all the Winnebago employees there. I got to meet, you know, with marketing and with, of course, Adam, of the product manager for Winnebago. They had like a towables breakfast that we had at the towables display, because they had a display with all the RVs. It was like a mini RV show, kind of, and they have like two or three of floor plans of each of the Winnebago models. Of course, this show is mostly for the motorized division of Winnebago, and what they're trying to promote is people like me who have trailers, towables as they call them, to also go to the show. I think this year there was a whole lot of 20 of us out of 700 rigs. So most people are with the diesel pushers and the Class A's and all that. And there's a substantial Class B and B plus segment too. Like a lot of views, a lot of Stravatos. But yeah, we were definitely in the minority. And then of course I had they had set up a seminar for me. And we had on Wednesday at 3 p.m. we had they called it the Traveling Robert Happy Hour, and it was mostly Q&A. It felt a little bit like some of my live streams on Friday. It was just live, you know, with people with the wireless microphone, you know, asking me questions. And of course, Adam from Winnebago also took over, and he answered some of the questions too, because some of the questions were technical things about our new trailer here. That, by the way, so far, we're having a great time. And now, of course, this Sunday, I'm gonna release a video about the new trailer, and it is 42 minutes of us talking about the trailer. There's some repetition there. I left it like that, edited that way. But let's say the first half of the video is all the people who donated technology for this trailer, speaking about whatever they donated. And of course, one of the main ones is Lithionics batteries, and I want to give them a huge plug. They have a 320 amp hour battery, but the good thing about this battery is like it's like two-thirds of the footprint of if you were to put three standard 100 amp batteries. So it's lighter and it is smaller. Maybe not lighter, but it is definitely smaller. The density, what they call the density of amp hours per square inch or what have you, is is very good, and I got a beast of an inverter. In fact, I've been able to run the AC on that inverter. It's a Santrex, a 3000 watt inverter, and so far it's performed without a hitch. I mean, we haven't really boondocked as much, but it's been very well. And now we can talk about the Truma Aventa, and the Truma Aventa, and you're gonna hear all about her on this upcoming videos this Sunday that I'm gonna do about our new trailer, the new trailer that we're gonna be traveling around for the next year or maybe even longer. And it's a brand new air conditioner that Winnebago is gonna be installing in certain RVs. I don't think they're gonna do like an OEM market, you know, something that you can buy and replace your existing Dometic or Coleman or whatever you have for this. Just because it's not the opening on the roof is exactly the same. It's 14 by 14, but the footprint on the roof outside is much bigger. It's a lot slicker, a lot more streamlined. You know, it doesn't go as high, but it's it's much bigger on the roof. But the main thing is it is on right now, and you may be able to hear it in the background. But really, it's not like the old AC that I would have to turn it off, literally turn it off completely if I wanted to record something like this podcast or my voiceover. I still turn it off for the voiceovers, but right now for the podcast is on. And the good thing, and this is a thing that apparently it is important in Europe, outside it is virtually silent. And apparently, since a lot of RVs in Europe that don't have AC, you know, they're not used to having that noise at night in the campgrounds. So it even has a night mode that makes it virtually silent on the outside, which would make it a lot more stealth. And I don't have exact numbers, but it's a very low power consumption. It comes with a soft start system from the factory. And the good thing in this trailer, what Truma did, and then Truma properly, besides Santrex and Lithionix, went above and beyond. They gave me a Vario furnace, and they also put the Truma AquaGo comfort water heater. And the good thing is it has a panel where you can control all three of them. You can even have an auto mode that you set a temperature, and the AC comes on when it needs to come on, and the furnace comes on when it needs to come on. And it's really cool to be able to control all those systems from one panel, one digital panel there. And I'm actually very happy with the way things are coming out. We're getting used to things. We are traveling slower than we used to. We are staying more days at the same location. We've been able to enjoy having the slide, and the slide really opens it up. I had no idea, but it feels a lot more comfortable it's almost like an apartment. Of course, we're still getting used to certain things here and there, and when the slide is in, I don't think if I mentioned this in a previous podcast, but we were used to the RV always being the same. You know, whether you were at a campground or just stopping at a rest area just to go to the bathroom, the RV being always the same. And with this lighting, it's still very usable, but you miss having all that extra room, and yeah, it's kind of a little bit of a squeeze to go to the bathroom or to open the refrigerator or even to make coffee, but it is doable. It is just not meant to be used with a slide in for long periods of time. That's what I think. That's what I would say is the deal here. Now, another thing that we did this week, since today we left the Winnebago Grand National Rally. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, there's also in that town, Forest City, Iowa. It's a small town, but the town is pretty much dedicated to Winnebago. So we went to they have a Winnebago Visitor Center with a little museum there where they tell you the story of Winnebago, how they began in the 1960s, right there in Forest City, Iowa. And they have some old trailers, and you know, of course, you exit through the gift shop, and you can buy T-shirts and hats or whatnot. And they also have right there, you can also sign up for for a factory tour, which we didn't. They don't allow you to film it or take pictures or anything like that. So it would have been cool to see, but we decided to do other things like. During this week, it's also like a carnival there in the town. It's like a celebration. They call it Poker Brush or something like that, and they had like parades, and they had the municipal band playing at the bandstand there at the Central Park or whatnot, and you know, it's a fun time at Forest City, Iowa, and we also partook on those events. Over there. Now on the way here, we came to this other place, and it's where is it? It's called the Shrine of the Grotto of the Redemption. Yeah, Shrine of the Grotto of the Redemption is in the town of West Bend, in Iowa, and it is the largest man-made grotto in the world, and actually it was quite impressive. I had seen pictures. I had heard great things about it, and it is basically in the middle of nowhere, Iowa. You know, surrounded by cornfields. Well, we are kind of surrounded by cornfields where we are right now. Iowa is a lot more than cornfields, as we discovered last week in Dubuque. But there's a lot of corn, a lot of high fructose corn syrup, and I'm sure sweet corn and other types of corn produced here in the state. But it's a lot of it, and soy. Corn and soy. I lost my train of thought. The grotto, the shrine of the grotto of the redemption. I mean, you don't have to be religious to appreciate the work of art that it is. And even, you know, they have like 16 stations depicting, you know, different moments in the life of Jesus Christ. There's even like a nativity scene, and everything is kind of... It looks like petrified wood, the way they did that part of the shrine. But other parts have like quartz, a lot of quartz, or other precious stones, and it is very interesting. It is very hard to describe, but if you happen to be near West Bend, Iowa, I recommend you stop. It's totally free. You can make a donation, of course, but it's totally, or you can go to the gift shop and buy something, but it is totally free. And a lot of people go there out of faith, and you can tell a lot of people go there to try to heal themselves and all that kind of thing. And that was very moving as well, to see so many people doing the pilgrimage to this shrine of the grotto of the redemption. It's a lot of sculptures too. It's very tasteful, very well made, and I'm glad we visited. And then we came here, and that's the plan for the next couple of days. We might go down to Omaha. We're like 1 hour from Omaha. We're like an hour from Sioux City. We might go into South Dakota just for a little bit, just to say we were in South Dakota on this particular trip. And of course, I want to explore Omaha, and then we go back to Des Moines, and in Des Moines we have planned I mean, I have to confirm with Steve there, but I'll give you a 90% chance, 99% chance we're gonna have a meetup at the Iowa Room at 5 p.m. Central Daylight Time on August 3rd. It's a Tuesday. Tuesday, August 3rd, the Iowa Room, 5 p.m. Central Time. Be there or be square. That's what we're gonna do. And we're anticipating probably from 20 to 40 people. So if it's more than that, well, we might have to go outside. But I am really, really looking forward to meeting up with Iowans, or if you are from somewhere else, you know, wherever you are, if you happen to be in the area. I would love to share an IPA and or whatever beer you'd like to drink, and some stories from the road with you guys. Now, let's listen to some of your voicemail.
Hi, Robert and Ileana. Just wanted to let you know it was a pleasure spending the evening with you last night at the brewing company. I just wanted you to know we're very grateful. Thank you. Gary and Pam, we had a wonderful time. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary and Pam, and we had a wonderful time as well. with you and everybody else. Thank you so much, and hopefully we'll get to meet up again in the future.
Before the fire that took my home on December 6th of 2020, I had three businesses, a bed and breakfast and two Etsy stores. For now, on that, I've been binge watching your videos over and over. Since last Christmas was a loss, I spent Christmas and New Year's in a hotel room watching you and Illy by video. Those travel videos have given me something much more pleasing and calming to focus on. So thank you, Aunt Illy. It has been a blessing to have those available. I want to make you and Illy a bracelet. I used to make these bracelets in the stores that I sold, but I want them to give them to you for free. And these are wooden bead bracelets. And what I do that makes them different is these have Morse code. So you can say anything you want, but nobody's going to know what it says because it's in Morse code. To do that, I would just need a wrist size for each of you. And what kind of message, whatever the message is you wanted to say, and where to mail them. So anyway, that's just a thought. And thank you again for everything. And God bless you both. Bye.
Thank you so much. We would love that. We're on the road right now, so we're going to figure out exactly what our sizes are and what we want to put on the bracelets. And I'll definitely get back to you real soon here via email. So I'll send you a private message. Thank you so much. Really, really appreciate it.
Hi, Robert. It's Dylan here from the Toronto area of Pickering. And I have a few questions today. My first question is, at some point, when are you planning to visit Calgary, Alberta, in Canada, yeah. My second question is, when are you planning to visit southwestern Ontario? Either in this trip or sometime? And then my final question is, when you go back out west, are you planning to visit Portland, Oregon? Yeah, and San Francisco and LA again? Alright. And today is Saturday, July 24th, 2021. And by the time you're seeing this, it'll be July 30th, 2021. So, that's all, and I hope you have a wonderful time on your wonderful trip, and see you on Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Central, or the live show. All right, bye-bye, everybody.
Hey, thank you, Dylan, for that message. Speaking of time, the live stream could be delayed this Sunday. I mean, we are in Central Time, and by 5 p.m. we may be touring Sioux City for all we know. So I'll post the time when I schedule the live stream tomorrow or today, actually tomorrow. I'm recording this on a Thursday, as you all know. So about traveling in Canada, probably not gonna happen this year. I know Canada is opening up the border now in early August, but I don't know the way certain things are going. It seems like things are gonna get worse before they get back to fully normal. So I don't know, and even certain areas like New York seem that like they might. You know, I might have to change plans. Who knows? So, without talking much more about that situation, the idea is to the plan is not to have a plan, and I definitely want to do the Canada, you know, the Trans Canada Highway all the way from the Maritimes all the way to British Columbia and north to Canada. I mean to Alaska, but. One day at a time, one year at a time, and one of these days, we're gonna make it. And if we don't make it, you know, it's okay too.
I'm riding in my RV.
And on that note, we're going to end it today, this episode 202 of the podcast. And coming to you from in the, it's very smoky in the Midwest right now, and that may be affecting me a little bit. So I'm going to stop right here, and I'll speak to you guys next Friday, probably still from the great American Midwest, another area of the country that I really love. And it's not only cornfields. There's great people and great cities and lots to see, believe it or not. Until the next one, thank you so much for listening. And see you on the road, because we are living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle, because I'm free in my RV.